Good morning. We want to continue with our thoughts from last week on the subject of miracles. Today we want to consider the duration of miracles. Were miraculous gifts to abide with the church until the end of time? Or, due to their specific design, were they only a temporary phenomenon? This matter is discussed rather comprehensively in two New Testament contexts. We will consider each of these. In 1 Corinthians 13, the inspired apostle addresses the duration of spiritual gifts in the Lord's church. He commences by showing that these gifts must be exercised in love, for miraculous powers void of love were worthless. This theme is quite appropriate in view of the disposition of rivalry which threatened the unity of the Corinthian congregation, some exalting certain gifts above others. From this initial instruction, there is a very natural transition into the character and permanence of love, in contrast to the transitory function of spiritual gifts. Of the 9 gifts mentioned in chapter 12, verses 8 through 10, Paul selects 3 to illustrate his argument. Significantly, all 3 were related directly to the revealing of God's will to man. The apostle affirms that prophecies shall be done away, tongues shall cease, knowledge, supernatural knowledge, shall be done away. It is wonderfully clear, therefore, that these 3 gifts, and by implication all miraculous gifts, were not designed to be a permanent fixture within the church. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 9, Paul contends that God's will, by means of these spiritual gifts, knowledge, prophecy, and so forth, was made known gradually, or in part. The expression in part translates literally the things in part. It denotes a part as opposed to the whole. And so we make the following argument. The in part things shall be done away, but the in part things are the supernatural gifts by which the will of God was revealed. Thus, the supernatural gifts by which the will of God was made known were to be terminated. But the question is, when were these gifts to pass away? The answer is, when that which is perfect is come. In the Greek Testament, the expression literally reads, to teleion, the complete thing. The term perfect, when used of quantity, is better rendered complete or whole. In his translation of the New Testament, J.B. Phillips renders it, when the complete comes, that is the end of the incomplete. So we may reason as follows. Whatever the in part things are partially, the whole is in the completed form. But the in part things were the spiritual gifts employed in the revealing of God's will or His Word. Therefore, the whole was God's will, Word, as conveyed through the gifts, completely revealed. Within this context, therefore, the apostle actually is saying this. God's revelation is being made known part by part through the use of spiritual gifts. When that revelation is completed, these gifts will be needed no longer. Hence, will pass away from the church's possession. W. E. Vine observed, with the completion of apostolic testimony and the completion of the scriptures of truth, the faith once for all delivered to the saints, Jude 3, that which is perfect had come, and the temporary gifts were done away. Remember this vital point. Spiritual gifts and the revelatory process were to be coextensive. If men are performing miracles today, their messages are as binding as the New Testament record. If such is the case, the New Testament is not the final word. This theme is similarly dealt with in Ephesians 4, where it is affirmed that when Christ ascended on high, He gave gifts unto men, verse 8 and following. The gifts were miraculously endowed functions in the church, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. The design of these capacities was for the perfecting of the saints. The original word denotes complete qualification for a specific purpose, or, as Art and Gingrich render it, to equip the saints for service. Moreover, the duration of these supernatural governments was specified. They were to continue till we all attain unto the unity of the faith, chapter 4 and verse 13. Till suggests a specification of time up to which the spiritual constitution was designed to last. The word unity basically means oneness, and it emphasizes oneness, in contrast to the parts of which a whole is made up. Finally, the expression the faith refers to the revealed gospel system, Galatians 1:23 and 1 Timothy 5:8. And so, to sum up, the apostle contends the spiritual gifts would continue until the gospel system, in its individual parts as portrayed in 1 Corinthians 13, came together in oneness, the completed or whole revelation. Ephesians 4 and 1 Corinthians 13 are wonderfully complementary. We will now consider a couple of arguments that frequently are employed in an attempt to prove that miracles did not cease with the apostolic age. First, some contend Paul taught that spiritual gifts would continue to the very end, unto the coming of Christ. 1 Corinthians 1, 6-8 is cited to establish this. We offer the following points. It is not certain that miraculous gifts are even in view within the context. Meyer argues that spiritual blessings in general are under consideration, not miraculous gifts. Even if miraculous gifts are in view, the text no more asserts that they will be operative until the Lord's return than it does that the Corinthians themselves would remain alive until that event. The word end can mean to the uttermost, John 13, verse 1, and thus the reference may not be to the end of time. One may be confirmed or sustained through the message of the inspired word, 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. Hence, be unreprovable in the day of Christ without needing to possess supernatural gifts. Secondly, it is claimed that the Lord is as powerful today as he was in the first century, and so he can perform signs today. But the question is not one of God's power. It is a matter of God's will. Does he will to perform miracles today? He does not will to create men directly from the dust of the earth. He does not will to feed us with manna from heaven, though he's powerful enough to do these feats. The he has the power quibble proves nothing. How does one deal with the alleged miracles of this modern age? In the first place, we really are not obligated to defend as divine a modern event simply because it may have certain elements that are difficult to explain. There are many illusions that modern magicians perform which the average person cannot explain, but they do have natural explanations. They're not miracles. That aside, there are several possible bases for so-called modern miracles. As an example, let us focus upon alleged faith healings. Some instances of faith healings are pure fakery. Consider the case of Peter Popoff, miracle-working cleric of Upland, California. Popoff, who claimed the supernatural ability to provide secret information about people in his audience in conjunction with healing them, was receiving such data through a tiny hearing aid, the messages being transmitted by his wife from the backstage. Prominent magician James Randi exposed the entire affair on nationwide television in 1987. Randi also demonstrated that Popoff was providing rented wheelchairs for people who could actually walk. Then, at his service, he was pronouncing them healed. Some miracle cures are claimed by people who honestly believe that God has healed them. The fact is, however, they had nothing originally wrong with them. Their ailment was psychosomatic. This means that though some bodily features was actually affected, the real root of the problem was mental or emotional. Hence, by suggestion, a cure might be affected. It has been estimated that some 55% or more of the patients applying for medical treatment in the United States suffer from psychosomatic illnesses. In fact, Dr. William S. Sadler has written this. It is generally believed by experienced physicians that at least 2/3 of the ordinary cases of sicknesses which doctors are called upon to treat would, if left entirely alone, recover without the aid of the doctor or his medicine. Taking advantage of this type of sickness, the faith healer, in an atmosphere of hysteria and feverish emotionalism, produces some phenomenal cures. But there's nothing miraculous about such cases. A physician in Toronto, Canada, investigated 30 cases in which the late Oral Roberts claimed miraculous healing was effected. He found not one case that could not be attributed to psychological shock or hysteria. Dr. Sadler affirmed that after 25 years of sympathetic research into faith healing, he had not observed a solitary case of an organic disease being healed. It is commonly known that an African witch doctor can literally command a believer in voodoo to die, and within the prescribed time, the victim will expire. This evidences the powerful control of the mind over the body. Surely no one will claim that a witch doctor has the Spirit of God. There is one final point that needs to be pressed with vigor. There is no alleged miracle being performed today by Pentecostals or those of similar Christian persuasion that cannot be duplicated by various cults or non-Christian sects. Those who practice Christian Science, Mormonism, Transcendental Meditation, Yoga, Physic Healing, Scientology, New Age Crystal Healing, and so forth, claim the same type of signs as the Pentecostals. In fact, more than 20 million Americans annually report mystic experiences, including healing, in their lives. Since the Scriptures clearly teach that the purpose of miracles, as evidenced in biblical days, was to confirm the message proclaimed, hence to validate the Christian system, do the multiple alleged examples of miracle workings indicate that the Lord has authenticated all these woefully contradictory systems? Think of the implications of that, especially in light of Paul's affirmation that God is not the author of confusion, 1 Corinthians 14:33. There is abundant evidence that genuine miracles were performed by divinely appointed persons in the first century, but there is no proof whatever that such wonders are being replicated in this modern age. If you would like to have a manuscript of this lesson, just let us know and we'll get it to you. If there's any way that we can help you, would you please let us know? And until next week, may God bless and keep you.